So, Gash, obviously, you've had, or do you need a minute? Yeah. I didn't know if you had a check. Gash, you obviously had great success in climbing your career. I'm just curious, what does it take to get to a number four spot in a company? What really made you stand out among the hundreds of other employees who were probably going for the same position? What price did you have to pay that maybe they weren't willing to?
You know what? A lot of people think education will get you there. Education by itself doesn't get you there. Okay. You have to have the desire for education does help. Don't get me wrong. But once you get the education, once you get the job, there's got to be a desire of commitment. In my days, I wasn't the type of guy that comes in at 9 o'clock and leaves at 3 o'clock. And I've seen those guys. And that doesn't work. For me, it was a really true commitment. Of course, you can't lose your priorities. My priorities have always been, my God first, my family second, my work third. But even with that context, you have to have a commitment. By commitment, I mean a lot of things. In our days, we say you have to burn the midnight oil. What does that mean? That means number one is you have to understand your job. You have to understand what it takes to grow a new job, how to learn your job, how to do the best you can. And if you don't know exactly what needs to be done, who to get help from. And sometimes saying, I don't know, is not bad. I think, as a matter of fact, it's good. So, people have to be committed to staying the course and trying to understand what they're doing and deliver the best value. You can't be coming in at 9 o'clock and leaving at 3 o'clock and thinking that you're going to be moving up the ladder.
That's good. I'm curious with that. So obviously there was great commitment, but you talked about your priorities. You've been married for 42 years, have three kids that are great. We talked a little bit about this when we had breakfast. You had to travel a lot. You weren't always home, but you have a great family. So how can you talk to the people out there who may be like, well, I'm not willing to pay that price because it's going to take away from my family. Obviously, it didn't for you. How have you been able to keep your marriage and great kids?
I could answer that in a very simple way. Quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be home 24/7, but if you don't spend quality time with your kids, that doesn't mean anything. And I will tell you, I have a very, very good relationship with my three children. We talk at least once a week. If they have any major issues, even though they're grown up and they're out of town, they call me. If there's any major issues or good things or bad things in our case, we call them. So I believe I've got a very good relationship. Again, it's not really, how do you treat your kids, and how do you manage your kids? And what kind of quality time you spend with your kids? There are times my wife and I, on a Saturday or the weekend, we don't see each other because our kids were involved in sports. When I was coming home on the weekends, I don't go anywhere else except to spend time with my family. So I don't go to a bar. I don't go to this place. I do that place. So on Saturdays, most of the time, my wife will go east. I'll go west with our children for the sports.
Yeah.
And then we come back maybe on Sunday morning or Saturday night, whatever the case might be. To me, I think it's the quality of time that you spend with children and how you communicate and how you behave in front of your children is really very, very important. I remember one of my bosses in Chicago was telling me he was a very great guy, good human being, but he has some bad habits. So he tells me, I tell my children, do as I say, not as I do. And the reason, he will be driving on the shoulder. I say, Marty, why are you doing that? Gash, don't tell me. I know I'm bad. So those are the things. It's just how you behave in front of them, and how you treat your wife in front of your children is very important, and how you behave with them. Are you using foul language all the time? And are you mistreating your wife all the time? They see all those kind of things. It's just the whole, to me, kids see the whole thing. It's not the one thing.
That's good. You talked about habits and disciplines. I'm curious, what habits and daily disciplines do you have that you implement in your life that allow you to be successful at home, at work, etc.?
I really am not a, In the mornings when I get up, I do my prayer. That's very, very important to me. First I thank him for all the things he's done for me yesterday and before. And then I thank him for the moment. Then I pray for today, for my children, for myself, for some people. And then I pray that he gives me the wisdom to be a light in the world. That's every day that I start. You know, that's very important that we have a time with God. And my time with God is talking to God. You know, I see God as just my father. When I said earlier in my interview, I was angry at God in 1992, just like I would have been angry with my father. So he's my father. So it's, you know, to me, I think it's okay to tell him that you're mad at him. But even though I don't know exactly what the purpose in life that he has for me. Yeah. So I start my day with my prayer. And then now, you know, I've got a lot of things that I do. Now I've got my day now is primarily spent on conference calls. I mean, I'll spend conference calls in Africa or conference call in India. So I do all that kind of stuff. And then the rest of time is really, what are some of the things that I could do to people, to help people? And lastly is, I'm the type of guy that likes to connect with my friends. And then I reach out to my friends. So one of the blessings that I feel that God has given me, that I still see that he uses me, is when people are in trouble or they have personal issues, my friends, they always reach out to me. And I believe that's one of my gifts. And I listen, and I listen, and I listen. And a lot of times, you don't have to give people advices. You just have to listen. They need somebody to listen.
Yeah. So you talked a lot about personal growth. So learning what it takes to grow in the position that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious on two fronts. Obviously, I'm looking at your bookshelf, lots of books. I always like to ask leaders, you know, what are the books that you either hand off the most often or would get or recommend the most to young leaders?
I am not a reader. That's my wife. So I want to be very truthful here.
Yeah, yeah. Have your wife.
I'm always transparent. Yeah.
Hey, I love it.
You know, the thing is, I listen to stuff. I mean, I listen, you know, the church is very important to me. You know, I let me tell you, the one thing that kind of helped me is when I go to church or when I listen to somebody speak, if there has something meaningful that I could apply to myself, then I try to go there. When I was going to church, before I became a Christian, going to Baptist church, you know, for me, and I want to make sure that people understand, for me, that wasn't there for me. You know, talking to people about certain things that happened 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, I recognize the whole spirituality, the context of that. I understand that. But I want somebody to use that context and tell me how to live my life today, how to apply what happened there today. So that's why, you know, I went to Willow Creek Church. I got baptized in Willow Creek.
Oh, wow.
And when Bill Hybels talked, his message was primarily, I could apply what he preached that day in my daily life for that week or for the week after.
Yeah.
So those are the things really that shaped me. Then I came to here to Orchard Hill, and the same thing. So when people are in the spirit and they use the gospel to teach me and to tell me, to show me how I could use that to apply myself, to apply in my daily life. That's really what, I am not a reader. And I'm not a book reader. I just don't.
Yeah. So, okay. I am curious, what was your worst leadership moment and how do you recover from it? And ultimately, what do you learn about failure throughout the course of your career?
You know what? The worst for me, what I consider worst is failure. Okay. In my life, I have fired one or two people. To me, when I let a person go, that means I failed. I failed, why? Because I didn't help the person. I failed, why? I didn't train the person right. I failed, why? Perhaps he wasn't the right person. I shouldn't have hired him. So when I let a person go, I truly take that to heart and I feel like I failed. And then I try to do the better job the next time.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about sales. Okay. We'll just leave it really, really open-ended. But what does it take to be successful in sales, building sales teams, and actually creating success?
Sales is, number one, if you're an introvert, I would suggest you don't go into sales. Okay. That's really 101. Number two is, you know, understanding your product. Number three is understanding your customer. Okay. And then the fourth, which is more important than anything else, is being very forthright and honest. Customer might be angry and mad at that moment because he didn't get his way. But if you're open and forthright and honest, I think that will go a long way. And then lastly, is you got to know your customers. Knowing your customers, asking them how the family is, you know, how they're doing, you know, that really, really will help. Because the person then will relate to you as, this guy wants to know me, this guy's really genuine, this guy's very good. Phony people, it all comes out. You know, they might be successful for a year or two, but it will come out. So my counsel would be, you know, number one, understand your product you're selling. Number two, understand your customers. Number three, get to know your customer very well. Know them, their family, who they are. If they're doing business with you and you're spending more time with them, seeing them, having lunch, having dinner with them, get to know the family. And lastly, is be very honest and transparent. Even on the worst thing, if you've made a mistake, tell them. Even in the worst thing, you know, just be very honest, because the truth shall set you free. And to me, that would be my counsel.
That's good. Talk a little bit about leading teams. What was the hardest part when you were number four guy, responsible for who knows how many people? Mm-hmm. What was the hardest part of leading at that level with so many people reporting to you, responsible for so much stuff?
First of all, for the staff that I had in Pittsburgh, I had a once a week meeting. Every morning at 9 o'clock, we had a meeting. In that, we go, it doesn't matter who's there, it doesn't matter the position, we go one person at a time, whatever time it takes. Number one, I ask them, how was the weekend? Number two is, how was your business week last week? Tell us the good, bad, and ugly. To me, that will connect you with your people, that you're not. And the second thing is, treat them the way you want to be treated. Okay. The third thing that I expect from all my managers, you know, remote or otherwise, is I empower them to do the job. I give them what needs to be done. We agree, but after that, I empower them. I don't micromanage. But if they fail me, then there'll be a discussion. But people like to be given the opportunity to succeed. A lot of people don't want to look over their shoulder. So I empower my people to do the job. I'll have a conference call with them on a monthly basis. I have what I call a dashboard on the business metrics. You know, they report on the business metrics. If there are areas that they haven't done a good job, we'll talk about it. But I will never belittle a guy in front of the crowd. If I have an issue with a person, then, you know, I wouldn't do that with the staff. I'll just pull the person aside, then we'll have a chat. So those are the things really that I did.
Yeah, I'm just curious. So I'm sure there was enormous amounts of pressure, at least at some points, mm-hmm. right? Responsible for everything.
Yeah.
How did you deal with the pressure so you don't explode on your team? You know, was working out helpful? Do you not get stressed?
I would say, and you know, Doug, you and I have talked about it, you know, even now today, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the gym by 4:45. I leave the gym 7:45. Workout helps. And being really in tune with God, in tune with the Bible, helps. Because, you know, if you truly are in the Word, that will help you. And also being, my daughter calls me gym rat. Going to gym and physical exercise helps. And I always, even though when the heat comes from the top, I always protected my guys. I never showed them what's happening.
That's good. Just open-ended question. What have you learned about making money? So you came from a third world country where mm-hmm. it literally had nothing, and now you've been successful financially. What have you learned about actually having money, the good, the bad, the ugly?
You know, we know money is the root of all evil. We know that, right? One is, I want to make sure that I support my family, I support my kids, that I'm, you know, in a very professional way, not a spoiling way. Number two is, you know, we've been instructed, you know, through the Bible, that we know that we have to do the giving and the tithing to the church. Thirdly, my wife and I, you know, have several causes that we help that really, really means a lot to us. And really, lastly, is really live the life. You know, we have not changed our lifestyle, you know. So we want to be very humble. We want to be very gracious to what the Lord has given us. But at the same time, also, be, you know, get some help from people that are grounded, Christian people that helps us with our investment. So that's very, very key. But at the end of the day, it really is, you know, I am no different than anybody else. You know, whether a person has more money than I do or I have more money than somebody else, you know, I am a creature of God. So, you know, if you're really grounded to who you are, to who you need to be, you know, I think you'll be fine. Where the issue is, you know, people say, you know, my next door neighbor has this, so I should do better than that. My brother has this, so if my brother has that, you know, I should have a better one. My brother has a Mercedes Benz, so I should have something better. So, you know, if you live that kind of lifestyle, you know, you're going to have an issue. But if you live a modest style, you know, always in the Word, and you know, you'll be doing just do fine. And then get some good counsel.
That's good. Just want to talk about young leaders. If you had any advice, just open-ended, so when a young guy comes in, or even if your kids came to work for you today, what advice would you give them to set them up for their career?
I come from an old school. I have a very, very big issue when a person wants to come in. You know, if the work hours is from 8 to 5, when a person comes in at 9 o'clock and leaves at 4 o'clock, I've got an issue. Okay. I have an issue if a person doesn't take responsibility to what he or she is doing. Okay. I have an issue if the person is really not finishing the functions or the jobs that has been given to get them done. So to me, those are the things that I have an issue with. So what does that mean? That means that, you know, for the young leaders, is number one is be an example to your employees. You know, make sure that you don't use the word, the analogy, do as I say, not as I do. You know, they should follow you based on what you do and how you do it. And you should be an example to your followers.
That's good. And it may just be the opposite of everything you just said, but where do you see young leaders miss it the most often? And you just want to...
I think you see
opposite.
It.
Yeah. That's all right. Just want to close with a few personal questions. If you can go back and have coffee with 20-year-old Gash, what would you tell him?
I honestly will tell you, if I have to live my life all over again, I wouldn't change a thing. Because don't get me wrong, I learned a lot through life. You know, not knowing God, and then through all the trials and tribulations that I had in my life, that every step of the way, when I reflected back, that His hands were on me. He was watching me. He was saying, my son, I'm not going to let you go anywhere. I'm going to protect you. He said, when a young man comes from Africa, when you don't have your mother, your father, any relatives protecting you and taking care of you, watching what you're doing, and when you, you know, when I, you know, being where I'm at today, it has to be, it is the power of God. God loved me and He took care of me. So, you know, that's, to me, that's my story.
I like that. What are you most proud of up to this point in your life?
Wow. Actually, I'm proud of my children. I'm proud of my two boys, the way they view the wives, how they treat the wives, and how they support the wives. And I'm proud of my two boys, my daughter's not married, two boys, how they take care of their children. You know, that's really what I'm proud of. And my daughter, she's a lovely one, and I am so proud of her to what she does. She's a very successful person as well. So I'm proud of my children.
And then last question, and I'll just leave it open-ended if you want to say anything. So looking back on your life, if you had to have your kids and wife say anything about your life at your funeral at the end of your life, what would you want said about you?
At my funeral? I'll tell you. As a matter of fact, my wife and I have talked about my funeral. I said, you know, I told her, I said, if I die before you, and I told my kids to, in my casket, I want to make sure there's a cigar in my mouth and a smile. Just make sure they do that. And then there should be a sign at the back said, it said, I had great life and no regrets.
I love it.
And I've told them that. Really, I you know, did I go through issues all my, yeah. But you know what? When I look back, I had a great life. And thank God for that.
Yeah. Anything else you want to leave us with? Just
no, just I'm here to just, my goal in life is to impact people moving forward. Until the day that I die, I want to be able to have an impact on one person at a time.
That's great. Well, thank you for impacting me through this. And thank you for everyone that it listens as well.
No problem.
Thanks, Gash.
Yep.